Oh, you thought we'd stay away for that long? Weekend at Effie's is back. We're going to Binghamton, New York. We're going to Throop, Pennsylvania. We're getting severely sick throughout the week. Then we're going to Cleveland. We're hanging out with old people. We're hanging out with Danhausen. And we're going to Texas, to the shores of Corpus Christi, to the weirdness of Austin, and then back home to celebrate WrestleMania in the upcoming weeks. It's Weekend at Effie's, and you're fucked. Was that good? Mm-hmm. It's that time of year. We are here in preparation of Joey Janela's Collective Week, and that means I'm back on it. Yesterday, I did an interview, a press interview that I forgot about until 2:30 and then finally got out of bed. Now, last week, we did not have an episode because I was sick in bed all week, and this week, Peter is stronger than me. Because Peter has been sick, and Peter is still here helping me record. So, folks, do not worry about if Peter is talking a lot or responding a lot in this episode. It will be me yelling a bunch. And if you want to say that this is me talking to a wall, then go the fuck ahead. Ronnie Rack, he's still dead. A bunch of losers on Twitter are going to get roasted by me. I don't care. I'm on fire. Welcome to April Effie. I'm here to fuck your shit up. For our regular listeners, this will come out April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing for April Fool's Day? What? I have to go be drug tested. I have to go turn in my dates and get drug tested. And shout out to my probation officer. I hope she listens to this. Because for the past 2 months, I've shown up with my full list of dates. And I've taken my drug test. And no one has sent me a travel pass. But you know what? I could sit here and there's lots of little complaints we can have right now. I have a lot of manic, deep energy right now regarding the next week of my life coming up, which we will discuss. But we have a lot to catch up on. First and foremost, as of this morning, our early listeners will hear this. I am a gunkle. I am a gay uncle. And that baby is here. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, like, I've never really liked babies. Okay. Like, just personally, not for me. They can't fend for themselves. Yeah. You know, they don't know how to make breakfast. Like, you can't, like, expect the baby to do much. Can't even walk. It's got a soft skull. But then today, everything changed. And I just want to say, I love babies. Babies are so cute. Babies are so sweet. Babies are precious. Babies are a part of this world and a part of life. And I'm so honored that I get to meet this baby. Not yet, but soon. Granted.
Does the baby have a name?
The baby's name is Gabriella Gibson. And it's going to be little Gabby, little baby Gabby, Gabby baby, baby Gabby, Babby Gabby, Babby Gabby. And this is my first niece ever. And my mother is now a grandmother, which means my grandmother is now a great grandmother. And my mom is currently driving to Tampa as we speak. I told her not to get pulled over, not to get a ticket. But I think I'm going to wait until we are back.
It's going to be a fiery baby.
This is a... Is it?
Yeah, it's
what does that mean?
Aries season. Oh, excuse me, y'all. I am all kinds of croaky.
You're fine.
Yeah, if we just look at... it's going to be kind of an intense baby, to be honest with you.
Oh, good. that's what we need.
Like, if we're just looking now, we have Sun in Aries, North Node in Aries, and Mercury in Aries. They are not going to be able to tell this child what to do.
I love this so far.
And then we've got, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
This is also the first Gibson girl. My dad's side of the family is
this is a Mars baby.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is she a fiery little baby?
I think you're going to be teaching this little baby how to bump.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that I could have a second generation wrestler in the family?
I mean, it's all like, yeah, interesting.
I didn't want to say right away, like, that baby looks like a competitive cheerleader. But that baby's going to be a competitive cheerleader. I'm pretty pumped on it. So excited to meet my niece. Going to go down to Tampa early and spend time with the baby. I told Allie she can come see the baby too because Allie loves babies. And I, it's something me and Allie have in common. We both love babies now. we have 2 weeks of information to catch up on. 2 weeks of information. I first want to say a huge thank you to the team at Excite Wrestling and the team at Smashmaster Wrestling for making my dreams come true, because I had such a good time last weekend and then I got home and I was sick. So I hope I didn't get anyone sick. I hope they didn't get me sick, but something happened and I was in bed for 4 days, and that's okay. As you say, sometimes your body just says, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I needed some sort of rest. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, sorry. I'm figuring out, we've had some changes and updates on the Big A Brunch card because Sawyer Wreck has broken her hand.
Oh, no.
But I have a fitting replacement coming in to help out with this, and I'm very excited. And then Ziggy Heim, unfortunately, has retired. I have a fitting replacement coming in on this. So nothing anyone needs to worry about. I promise it will be wonderful, possibly announced, and very exciting to see who else has joined the squad. And I'm not worried about the card at all. What is he doing?
What is he doing?
We have our dumbass landlord outside just cutting pieces of wood. They're not even like good pieces of wood. Do you think this is going to be hearable, or do you think this is us just us going like? Because I asked him earlier, I was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I walked outside. And I said, "What the fuck are you doing?" Let's see if the saw goes off.
Yeah, it should be fine.
I'm not going to waste too much time on last weekend, though, but I do want to shout out the teams, and I want to make a special shout out to the one and only Charlie Tiger, because Charlie Tiger met up with me in Philly when I got my rental car, took me to Charlie's, which is not his restaurant, but a restaurant, and we both had double cheeseburgers, and we got on the road, and we drove to Binghamton, New York.
And a cheeseburger, so it's, I haven't eaten like anything.
Yeah, you need to. We're gonna get you. You want a cheeseburger? I'll go get you a cheeseburger. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We're gonna take care of Pizar after this. There's one thing about me where like some people see the daddy on my ass and they think it's because like it's a sexy thing, which to them it might be. To me, it's because I want to daddy the children. I want to nourish them.
That's the sexiest thing in the world. Is just,
is nourishing someone, fuck, and being like, what can I get you? What do you need?
Yeah.
Buying the children lunch.
We were talking about it before we started recording, and I think other people do too, just because we grew up in capitalism, that I have a very negative personal reaction to getting sick.
Yeah.
That entirely stems from my childhood and not really being allowed to be sick.
And feeling useless.
Yes.
We are not going to let that stay. And you know what? You've got Big T here to take care of you.
I love T.
Yep. Well, no, I'm Big T.
Oh.
But that's T. You are drinking T. I'm referring to myself as Big T for some reason, which I've never done with you ever. Big T's going to give you some snacks. We got you on DayQuil. We got some NyQuil still. We're gonna help you. We're gonna get you through this. What you really need is a coma. We're gonna get you a coma. So speaking of nourishment, though, we went to Charlie's. We went to Charlie's, the cheeseburger restaurant, and I, of course, bought Chuck Tiger some cheeseburgers, which he was surprised by, and I don't think he should have been, because you're joining me on this trip. He helped me out with merch all weekend. He helped me out with lots of stuff. We made it work, and this was also the first weekend. And let's see if we can just show this. The first weekend of me having a head tattoo, where I have my ponytail pulled back right now, and I hope you can see it. Effie is fine. And that's, a lot of people would say, hey, when you're truly fine, the first thing you do is tattoo it on the side of your head. AJ not happy with the head tattoo. My mom liking it on Instagram. I don't think she's happy with the head tattoo. Me, personally, the longer time goes on, the more happy I am with the head tattoo. It feels very raw and authentic and outlaw and true. And I feel more like a pirate person than ever. And it keeps me focused on my wrestling career, because there are limited opportunities for me to be hired while I have this visible head tattoo.
I think I'm becoming a little desensitized to the Taylor chaos, because the head tattoo it's not moving my needle at all. As far as like crazy things that you do,
it doesn't
in fact,
even
seem very normal.
Just it's Tuesday. Let's go get my head tattooed. Yeah, that's a regular occurrence now. And that's the thing too, is like sometimes I look up and I'm like, is anyone paying attention? But I've also desensitized people to the fact that I'm just sort of a crazy person, in the best sense. I've made it work for me. I've made my crazy work for me.
I need to go see your buddy soon.
Yeah, I know. He's incredible. He just did a black and white, it was a reference to an older pinup that's like a very classic pinup tattoo design that was made into a mermaid for someone's grandpa that he then found the specific old reference that grandpa had and redid that as a mermaid for someone who is their grandchild.
Cool.
And like sometimes, you know, the thing is Luis Gonzalez, and he's over at, what is that tattoo parlor called? Why am I forgetting? Why am I stupid?
The one over on Pond, is it Liberty?
I think it is Liberty. Yeah, because the other one across the street is not there. The one across the street, though, what's so crazy is that's where I got my lip tattoo when I was 19 before I went to a Cobra Starship concert, which is still on my lip. Yeah, that is Liberty Tattoo in Atlanta, Georgia.
I love how they tell you 6 months at most. Don't get a lip tattoo. And it'll
so
fade.
15 years later, yep. Here I am. Yep.
My ex had FYBCM, and it was just darker than the first day they got it. Like,
yeah, it faded
later.
The first day and I was like, oh, it's already fading. And then it never faded again. Mm-hmm. Not once, not ever did it fade at all. So lip tattoos, they do not go anywhere. That's what you know. That's what I know. Liberty Tattoo, Luis Gonzalez, fantastic tattoo artist. He's done a lot of my tattoos. He did my cranberry, though, which is like the most of his style, like very just like American traditional bold in there.
That's how I deal with this sickness shit. I need to go get a tattoo.
You have to ink it up. You have to ink it up. It's going to work out.
Because my, like, it's, I hate astrology for the fact that I go, oh, there's this thing coming up, and then I get hit and I go, I'm sick. That's what it was.
Yeah. That can't be it. I'm going to change what it is.
Just because I don't, like, I'm really, really trying to focus on positives in my life at the moment. And I just want to put a positive out there. I had a very big win the other day. Hands down, the best astrology reading that I've ever given my entire time doing this, to where everything just felt clear. And I knew exactly what I was talking about.
But you've also been studying. You've been enhancing your knowledge.
And this is the first time I got to plug all of that in. And it was this real moment of 1,000% I can do this.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible for like the hour and a half went by. And I was like, I just sat and talked the whole time. And it like made a really big difference.
That's
beautiful.
It made
a really big difference.
Well, if you're on our Patreon and you want to reach out for a specific reading, let Pete
I don't
know
if y'all have noticed, shit's been a little fucked up.
Been a little fucked up. Honestly, though, here's the problem. When shit's a little fucked up for everybody else, it's usually pretty good for me. And I felt
That's the thing is, everything else that has been happening this week, it's totally fine. It's not my shit.
Yeah.
But
you were hit with the bug. Oh. Yeah. I'm glad at least we had leftover NyQuil from when I was out, so we could just trade off supplies. We're very symbiotic in this sense, and it's lovely to have someone.
Well, you know, our charts are opposite of each other.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's why we work so well together. Yeah. Oh my God, I love it. I didn't even understand. See, you're helping me understand. This is good. Well, back to Charlie. I took Charlie in the rental car. We went to Binghamton. I did a sick meet and greet. I got to see a lot of cool people. I got to see Thedea the Witch finally in person,
excellent,
which was awesome, which was lovely. But I just want to say, and you know, this is not braggadocious because I warned Ethan Page. You know, he's back doing a few indie dates. He's got Alpha One Wrestling back. And we both did our meet and greet at the same time. And we did about the exact same amount of meet and greets, which is very rewarding to me as someone who is not on television, on Ring of Honor, on AEW, not under contract, to have the same sort of reach with fans. Made me feel very good. But I did warn him that out here, baby, you remember where the sharks were. And he goes, I built being an indie guy. And he did. I looked up to him for a long time as an indie guy. And I said, but don't you dare forget, Ethan Page. You got the fuck out of there as soon as you could. So when you come back, don't be surprised if there's the remembrance of the reason why you left the indies. Either way, I was right before intermission, and he had to wait until the main event. So
did you pull Bebop out in his shark costume and said, this is where the sharks are now?
There's sharks in the water. Bebop did just get a shark costume. And it turns out, when he's in his pig costume, very sweet, calm baby, like a little piggy, And when he's in his shark costume, he's trying to bite my dick.
Yeah.
He's he plays into the costumes. He was so excited when it got delivered. He was ready. And he looks very cute in a shark costume. And thank you this weekend for watching both Cranberry and Bebop. It means the world, and it's very helpful. Sadly, AJ had to go help one of his friends put their dog down, which is very tough and very hard. But I think it makes us appreciate our puppies even more while they're here. And, you know,
it's a good thing to do for your friends to be there.
It's lovely to be there for your friends.
Because they have to be there for the dog, and you need to be there for them.
Yes. And we were both actually in Austin the same day and did not end up seeing each other. Because I called after the show and was like, do you want to come hang out at the hotel? Do you want to do this? And basically, they were just going to sit on the couch and cry and watch movies. And I said, that's fine. I'm going to go eat Taco Bell and go to bed. I do want to say, no offense to Chuck Tiger, but two nights in a row at Smashmaster and at Excite Wrestling, I had my own hotel room. And the following week in Cleveland, in Corpus Christi, and in Austin, Texas, I had my own hotel room. And I just want to say, Brett, there's no going back now. Okay? Once I have tasted the goods of having my own room, I love Allie. I love her with my whole heart. Okay? I love all my friends. I don't mind rooming with my friends sometimes. But I want the option of that room being mine. I want the big king bed. I want my own bathroom. I want them to just check me in and let me go to the room.
Uh-huh.
It is marvelous to have your own hotel room. People are going, ding, 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 ding. I do everything to make it easy. Okay. I want it easy to book Effie. I want to make money. I want you to make money. I want everything to work. And if you need me to room with someone and that helps make it easy, perfect. I'll do it. But if you can just get me a hotel room, my goodness gracious, it helps me out so much. I also did a seminar while I was at Smashmaster Wrestling in Throop, Pennsylvania, right outside of Scranton. And a lot of the kids from Excite and the kids from, I say kids, they're adults, but came.
Look, everybody's a fucking kid.
Everybody's a kid. Yeah. When I go to work and everyone's 22 and I'm 33, you're just like, I don't know. Yep. You guys are kids.
Yep.
You're all kids to me.
The thing for me lately is, do you know who Jay and Silent Bob are?
That's a thing you have to bring up with them? Oh,
well,
no.
Well, it's because I work in a smoke shop, you know. Stoner culture, Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, that's like the Stoner Bible. It's dogma,
baby. Yeah, they're the successors to Cheech and Chong. Everyone knows who Cheech and Chong are still. And I got to be like,
do they? I remember the first time I watched Cheech and Chong up in smoke, and I didn't smoke weed yet. And then I smoked weed, and I went, oh, my God, it's so funny.
I
just thought they were stupid.
I didn't know who. I never watched any of the Cheech and Chong stuff. I just knew them as sitcom actors that were separate from each other, where it was Cheech Marin would be on like Law and Order and shit like that. And then Tommy Chong was always on episodes of That 70s Show.
You were just like, yeah, what? Why? What? They do stuff together? They're together? I don't know. What a life. Cheech and Chong, shout out. Yeah, Cheech Marin was doing a lot of running guest parts.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Chong was working in that photo booth with He Who Shall Not Be Named. Go to prison, you rapist.
Wow, you really did watch a lot of 70s Show like I did.
I watched a lot of 70s Show, and it makes me sad.
I know, because I was going to community college right out of high school, and I was taking classes at 5 in the fucking morning, so I'd have to get up super early, drive over, come back, and then I would have about 2 hours before I would start my day.
Yeah.
Well, I torrented all of That 70s Show.
So you could just
so
plug
I could
in.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, Alex had, my graphic designer had the full box set day one when we got to college. So I knew where we were.
I knew where we stood. I have gotten fucked by box set. Like, I love physical media.
Yeah.
I bought all the Sopranos. I bought all of That 70s Show. Half the discs on both of those didn't work. And I still had to torrent everything.
I bought the Jackass box set. It was great. Love it. I also love physical media, and by that I mean there are so many vinyls just sitting around my room that I've never put on the vinyl tray, and I just bought more vinyls.
What did you buy?
I just bought the Justice and Vampire Weekend vinyls, because every time I open Spotify, they're like, do you want the limited edition? So I got the picture disc of the Justice new album, and I got the chrome vinyl of the new Vampire Weekend album. And I'm very excited for both. as I look at the Jake Shears album that I never put on the vinyl player, that I never even plugged in, although it was on full repeat. I think just having the album around lets people know what you're about. I also have three copies of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road because fans keep gifting it to me, and I won't say no. I absolutely will not say no. I just want to take this time to say thank you to all our Patreon members. If you are on the Patreon, you are getting episodes early. You are getting bonus episodes. You are getting movie reviews. You are getting vlogs. You are getting puppy content. You are getting all sorts of excitement, like the weather update from PTAR. And it is beneficial to both of us. You are helping us put this on. You are helping support a small business, the small business being me and PTAR. In the house recording. You're helping us upgrade equipment so you can get video podcasts like our Patreon subscribers are getting. And all you have to do is go to weekendateffies.com. You can sign up for any level you want. You get more stuff the bigger you sign up. We've got Bebop and Guccifer and Cranberry, the Crandaddy. And I hope that you will at least give us a look. It is wonderful to have new subscribers, and it is wonderful that our old subscribers have stuck around as long as they have.
Yes, I know it's been chaotic over the past little bit, but...
the chaos will clear after WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I can't say that there's not going to be more chaos in the next week with me leaving Wednesday morning to go to Philadelphia.
Right.
But we're going to do our best. We're going to get as much content out as we can. But I'm sure nobody at home is going like, that motherfucker, he can't be that busy. Well, I am. I've been shipping, I've been buying, I've been doing, I've been booking, I've been planning, and I'm very excited. Ooh, okay, we will have Barbie Bussy shirts next week in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
God bless. God bless. Ooh. Okay, we're good. Everybody asking everything. I'm back. So I got home. Now, I will say Saturday night after Smashmaster, we got to the hotel at 10:15. I got into the room. I sat myself down. And the youthfulness of Chuck Tiger was also something that I was excited about because he's like 23, I think. He's like a baby. But he was helping me do merch, helping me do everything. And he said, let's go to the pool. I was like, what? And he was like, it's closed at 11. Let's go to the pool. So I did. We went in the pool. We just swam around like old men. I was a little nervous because I had my head tattoo. And I don't think you're supposed to swim with a fresh tattoo. But I don't give a fuck. I'm clearly not that responsible. You know, I'm not going to pretend I'm the most responsible head tattoo owner of all time. So here I am in the pool with Chuck Tiger. This poor little group of girls came in right after us and then got in the water for 2 minutes and then left. And he was like, wonder what their problem was. I was like, you're jumping in the air doing dives in this hotel pool, Chuck Tiger. I think they're a little worried. But we had a great time. Drove back, flew home, started when I dropped the car off. That's when I started to feel a little, ooh. Then I got home and I was collapsed for 4 days. No streaming, no podcasting. Only me and Amy Adams in Sharp Things, Sharp Objects, which I was so delusional on NyQuil that I was like, oh, PTAR told me to watch this series. PTAR told me this was a great series. I'm going to watch it. So I watched the whole thing and then tried to braggadociously tell you, like, took your advice, watched Sharp Objects. And you went, is that good? And I went, didn't you tell me to watch it? And you were like, absolutely not. I did not tell you to watch this. I loved it.
I'm gonna, because I've specifically have only heard bad things.
It was so good.
Okay.
I love Amy Adams.
Okay.
I love Amy Adams.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, what's a bad Amy Adams performance? You know, think about that for a second.
We could probably figure that out.
Okay, let's not.
Is she really a when is she bad?
What?
Like there's actors where it's legitimately when are they bad?
Yeah.
Is she a when are they bad?
Let's
look.
Okay, we're going into the Amy Adams ethos. I don't think you can find a bad Amy Adams. You're gonna find a bad Amy Adams, aren't you?
Let's see.
Well, I just want to also say that AMC. And this will make sense in a second. You massacred my girl. And y'all cut all the good lines out of Nicole Kidman's AMC ad. You ruined the spot. You made it shorter. You promised us, oh, we've been working on a new one. We've been working on a new one. No, you just cut out half the stuff, added Elvis and Way of the Water, and thought we wouldn't notice. I thought you were coming with some heat. Instead, you took out all the good parts, and I can't even look over at the person next to me in the movie theater and go, because here they are. I can't even do that. It's not even there. They don't even use that line. Nicole Kidman, why'd you let this happen?
Okay.
All right. What's the bad Amy Adams?
Big eyes.
Okay, it's terrible. You're right. But is it her fault?
It's everybody's fault.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's everybody's fault in that movie.
It's the worst movie I've ever... Oh, I think I blocked it out of my mind. I think I blocked it completely out of my mind.
Okay. Even worse one.
Oh, no.
Hillbilly Elegy. Have you seen Hillbilly Elegy?
Hillbillyology?
Yeah, the Ron Howard 2020 movie.
No.
It is not good.
What? Hillbilly Elegy. Yeah. I thought you were saying Hillbillyology.
Sorry, I can't.
It's okay. Is that Glenn Close?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. Is this based on a stage play, or am I thinking of that other one about?
It might be.
Ugh.
It might be.
Oh, God. Okay. Amy Adams, we love you. You love Amy Adams. Lucy, you love Amy Adams.
I can get you. I can get you.
Come here. Come here. This is my girl. Her name's Lucifer. She's precious. I love you, you pretty lady. Do you have something to say on the podcast? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, do you want me to tell them for you? No? You said they can't understand it's their fault? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Go lay down. That was Lucy. We just worked out a great deal, me and Allie, where she bought the new Bussy Barbie shirts, and I'm just paying for the whole hotel for the week.
Nice.
Now we're even. It worked out. I also don't think we're going to be in that hotel much. She said, I will buy you food this week. I said, I don't eat. And she said, you must eat. Okay, I eat. We have a great relationship. Really proud of both of us. We are going to be all over Philly next week. I'm excited for... our tag matches, which include against the Fashion Police, a.k.a. Dirty Breeze, a.k.a. Tyler Breeze and Fandango at Big A Brunch, and against Session Moth Martina and Gene Money for Progress, which is the only place you're going to be able to see Bussy Brav. It's Bussy Brav. The British are coming. The British are coming. And we made them fucking come. Right? Is that too much? Okay, either way, let's get into the next weekend. I was sick, it was bad, and then I went to Cleveland. Now, I was scheduled to be a part of what was called a Pick Your Poison match for AIW for my grand return, and it was Derek Dillinger of the production choosing me to be the poison to Magnum CK. And then the poison Magnum CK chose was Joey Janela to face Derek Dillinger. It was a Pick Your Opponent's duel thing. So... I urge everyone to watch the AIW match because it's absolutely ridiculous between me and Magnum CK. But it's even more ridiculous because Axe and Smash of Demolition, who our listeners will know as WWF legendary tag team, come out in the middle of the match and say, you two goofballs need to have your asses kicked, and then proceed to add Danhausen to our match. So it becomes a triple threat determined by Demolition, Axe and Smash, who then add Danhausen to the match, who then beats us up very badly, but Magnum CK still stole the win. He still stole the win. I had so much fun. We were in an old Masonic temple wrestling. It's a huge fucking sick theater. There were 750 people there. I love the people in Cleveland. Y'all bought so much fucking merch. Like the first night of this 3-day weekend, I was like, oh, like I've sold almost everything. This is insane.
Damn.
Yeah. And not only did I get to have such a good time hanging out with Demolition and Microman and Magnum CK and Danhausen and Derek and Joey Janela, I also got to see someone I have not seen since May of 2023 on the eve of their birthday. So we celebrated going into midnight, Matthew Justice.
Oh.
Yes. So we ordered Swenson's burgers together, went to the hotel, had a wonderful big burger meal together, talked a lot, chatted a lot, caught up, and celebrated his entrance into the next year together for the first time since May of 2023. As he says, we've been stationed in different areas of war. So I said, listen, this isn't like war. You know, it's like, you know, in war, there's like crazy, like a crazy battle. And then you just have to wait around a lot. And he goes, look around, man. What are we doing? You're just waiting for another battle, dude. And I think what's also wonderful and frightening is that even though I haven't seen Matt Justice in a long time, Matthew Justice, don't call him Matt. Even though we haven't been around each other, his spirit still lives deeply within me. And he sort of was pointing out the fact that I have become even more like Matthew Justice than he had hoped over the course of this year, because he's right. I'm a psychopath. I am taking worse bumps, worse weaponry. My hair's ripped out. My back is covered in lashes. My skull is covered in scars. And you just keep riding the lightning, baby. And I quoted him himself where I said, you know, you're going to see a lot of people on the way up and you're going to see the same people on the way down. And whether you're climbing that mountain or you're skiing down the other side, you just got to be the mountain. What a line. What a fucking line.
Seriously.
So happy birthday, Matthew Justice. Cheers to you. I'm glad we got to have cheeseburgers together. And then he took me to the airport. And of course, at 4 a.m., who was in the lobby? Demolition, Axe, and Smash. So me and Matt Justice just walk out at 4 a.m. We've been chatting all night. And I said, hey, guys, you know, have a safe night. And when we got in the car, Justice goes, wait, was that Demolition? And I went, yeah. He goes, I thought you were just chatting up some old dudes. I was like, no, dude, that was Axe and Smash. Here comes the Axe. Here comes the Smasher. But they said, did you even go to sleep last night? And I said, no, brothers, I'm an outlaw, and I got towns to make. And they said, where are you going? I said, Corpus Christi today, Austin tomorrow, then back to Atlanta for a couple before I head to Indiana. And they were like, kind of concerned for me, like old man, grandpa style, like a little like, come on, son, get some rest. But then I saw the glimmer in their eye that was like, there's still fucking outlaws out here. And they're still making the fucking towns. And they're still staying up all night and eating cheeseburgers. And I felt that twinge of pride from them that I needed. I needed to be reminded by another outlaw of our community that some of us got to be outlaws. And Terry Fuck rides again. More and more I'm realizing I will leave a legacy like Terry Fuck. Terry Funk, but I fuck. Right? Like, I'm not saying Terry Funk didn't fuck, but I'm Terry Fuck. Like, that's just, it just makes sense. I'm an indie outlaw. I'm covered in blood. They love me in Japan. I do whatever the fuck I want. I'm having a street fight. I have a grapple fest. I got a cool brother. His brother wrestled, though, you know. There's a lot of similarities between me and Terry Fuck. Funk. Fuck? Terry Fuck. That's me. Effie Fuck. I don't know. So I get on the plane, sleep the whole time, have to be awoken in Dallas, get on another plane that I had to run to in the Dallas airport, which is gigantic, hit it right at last call, got on the plane to Corpus Christi and landed. I don't understand geography, even though I go a lot of places. Turns out Corpus Christi right by the beach, and I landed and it was warm and there were palm trees, and the lovely Haley from Texas Wrestling Cartel picked me up. And what did we do? We immediately went and got, ready for it, full Cracker Barrel breakfast together.
Oh, so good.
I got the full grandpa's feast with ham and eggs and hash browns and cinnamon apples and apple butter and biscuits. And I ate and ate and ate. And then I was dropped off promptly at my beautiful hotel alone. And I took a fucking nap. Now, the thing about this nap is it got a little out of control. Now, did I wake up at some point and get a sandwich? I did. But did I go right back to sleep? Absolutely. And then I woke up and it was already 30 minutes after the doors had opened at the show that I was supposed to be at. And so I wake up in a frizzled panic and I call Haley and I say, holy shit, I overslept. And she goes, no worries. I'm sending my dad to pick you up. Just hang tight. And within a few minutes, he was there to grab me. I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, I feel unprofessional. And then he turned one turn around the corner and we were at the venue. Praise God. All it took was 1 minute to get to the venue. I went upstairs. I said, I'll do merch afterwards. It'll be fine. And I promptly called a sick ass match with Get Hard JP Harlow. And we went on 6 of 7, which a 7-card match. My God. Praise Jesus on his cross. Give him a little kiss on his stigmata, because that is how long a wrestling show should be. 3 matches, intermission, 4 matches.
Yeah.
And I'm match 6 of 7. That's incredible. That's magical. And we got to go as long as we wanted. We had a sickening match. I don't know if it was to say who won or not. And afterwards, I got to meet and talk to a lot of the fans. There's a fan there who brings his pet bird, which is crazy. Like, the bird buys a chair and sits in the bird cage and watches the wrestling.
Wow.
And, you know, we've been into birds lately.
Yeah.
So the bird is there. And it's like a whistle bird, not a talking bird.
Okay.
But it was whistling at me while I was wrestling. Very cool stuff. To just like look in the audience and you're like, there's a person with a bird. There's a bird. The bird's in a chair. The bird is an audience member. I'm wrestling for the bird tonight. I want to make sure this bird gets the show it deserves. So great time. And then what did I do? I went back to my hotel, which was my hotel, and I went to bed.
Oh.
Incroyable. Now the next day, yeah, okay. Oh, Effie, he likes to fly. He's a fly guy. Effie's such a, he's a guy who flies. Well, guess what? I will also get in the car because it's only a 3-hour ride to Austin. And Haley and me and Ref Killian all got in the car, made our way up, and stopped at a Texas tradition. You may have seen the beaver on your ride to Florida. We went to Bussy's. Mm. You know Bussy's? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Bussy's because they have really good brisket. They have kolaches.
You say the beaver, and all I'm thinking about is Jodie Foster and Mel Gibson.
You haven't watched it with me yet. I think if you're going to get really high on NyQuil, there's no better movie to watch than Mel Gibson and the Beaver. Is he an anti-Semite? Yes. Is he a bad person? Yes. Does he consistently put out Christian propaganda with white men in it who eventually would go on to be in falsehood films about child trafficking? Yes. But
look, you and I are both going to be first in line for Passion of the Christ too.
Let's
be
completely
honest.
I'm like, it's my Avatar Way of the Water. Okay. Does that make sense? But I want to say, when Jodie Foster directed Mel Gibson in the platinum feature film, The Beaver, I was there. Okay. I'm the beaver. I'm helping him get through his trauma. Oh no, you can't get rid of me. I'm the beaver.
You know that was like a famous Blacklist script? Like, they were trying to get it made for like 10 years.
And they added a famous Blacklist actor.
They certainly did.
The anti-Semitic drunk asshole Mel Gibson. And now he's the beaver. He doesn't even do the, like, you know, like if you're a, what do they call him? Ventriloquist? Uh-huh. If you were a ventriloquist, you'd be like, under here, under here. And you try not to move your mouth.
Yeah.
No way, dude. It's just Mel Gibson going, I'm the beaver. Yep, that's my beaver. I'm the beaver. And then Jodie Foster's like, I love men, and I'm especially attracted to men like Mel Gibson. And you're like, nobody's believable in their roles here. We're watching The Beaver. I don't give a fuck. went to Bussy's, saw The Beaver, got my treats, got my snacks. But I ran into someone I haven't seen in years in the specific Bussy's as we were on the road. Roman Rizal, who used to train here at Nightmare Factory in Georgia, used to do stuff with AEW, used to wrestle and be around a little more, and just walked into this place, and he was like, Effie? And I was like, Roman? And we were like, what? Completely random. But it means we stopped at the right time in the right place. We got a cute pic with the beaver. I was really proud of it. This the beaver. Do you think I should start wearing a beaver hand puppet?
Probably.
Spoiler for the movie. Uh-huh. I really shouldn't. It's hard to get rid of that beaver.
Oh, is it?
It's really hard to get rid of your beaver. Ooh. Do you think when he jerks off, he says he's fucking a beaver? All right, I'm done. I'm done with the beaver. You just groaned endlessly Yeah, I'm really into Beaver nowadays. It's me, I'm the Beaver. Got to Inspire Pro. We were outdoors under a tent, though, in a very cool area of Boston. And I had a triple threat match that night with some wonderful members of the LGBTQ community, Caleb J. Cartier, as well as Matt the Wrestler. And I was, wait for it, victorious. And it's lovely coming to Austin because people in Austin love Effie. Granted, wherever I go, people love Effie. Okay. And why is that? Consistency, creativity, and cunty outfit. Those are the three C's of why they love Effie. But specifically in Austin, keep Austin weird. Let me tell you who else is weird. Me. And they embraced me. They cheered for me. They loved the match. But after the match, Brick fucking Savage came out and got in my face. Another member of the LGBTQ community with big, strong shoulders and big, pierced nipples, and made me feel like I was going to die when he shook my hand. And I guess at a later date, me and Brick Savage are going to be fighting. So let's see what happens. But that wasn't the only surprise of the night. There's a big, big surprise. And that surprise was Ricky Starks, who I was walking to the back to go pee, and I see Ricky Starks, and I go, what the fuck are you doing here? Because we've had this conversation before, where I say things along the lines of, if I was a TV star, you wouldn't catch me at an indie show. But really, in my heart, I'm saying, it's so good to see you, Ricky. I missed you so much. But all we did for an hour, and this is why my voice is a little bit gone. It's not because I was sick. It's because me and Ricky Starks were screaming at each other backstage for an hour, arguing about stuff, which is wonderful because it's not like neither of us is truly mad at anything, but we are just so fired up about stuff at each other, and he knows how to get under my skin a little bit. And so we were just screaming, and then all of a sudden my music hits, and I was like, fuck you, Ricky. You distracted me for a whole hour, and now I have to go wrestle, and now I'm going to be fired up. And then at the end of the show, he ran out and he beat up one of the guys and hit the Rochambeau, his finish on them, and actually participated in the show, which I thought was so cool. And then we chatted for another hour afterwards and kept yelling at each other. And it was magical and beautiful and sweet. And I love Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks is a star. Whatever happens to Ricky Starks in the next few years, I think it will catapult him. I think he will go to the next level. I think he is an incredible performer who is often overlooked because he is so confident and so true to himself. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. And I just want to say that I believe in Ricky Starks, and I think Ricky Starks is incredible. And after that, Biz took me to the hotel once again, my own hotel room. I'm five nights in a row with my own hotel room. I might make it six. I know Saturday I'm sharing a room with Allie, but I think Friday night, my own hotel room, which is going to end up with like me, Cole, Allie, and Dan the dad all just hanging out in a hotel room together. And I'm totally fine with it, but I like the option of thinking that I'm like, I'm a celebrity. I have my own hotel room. Oh, if it's time for me to sleep, I will go sleep on my own. Even though I'm just going to end up hanging out and vibing with the peeps. This is the last stop this weekend before we get to Philly WrestleMania season. And I will be back Sunday morning on Easter. And then I will be leaving again on Wednesday. Wednesday night, I had Taco Bell at the hotel. It was great. I watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I went to bed. I caught a 5 a.m. flight home from Austin. I was here. We had fun. What a life. Wednesday, next week. Well, first Friday night, me and Dan the Dad are teaming up to take on Mason Mansoor. And Mason Mansoor faced Bussy, and I had staples in my head. And now I do not have any staples in my head. So I think it's going to be a very different match than what we have previously had with Mason Mansoor. And also, this time I've got Dan the Dad as a tag partner, and we are going by the tag team DILFs. Dads I'd like to fuck. Because we're both... What's funny is neither of us have kids, and Mason Mansoor both have kids. So really, the real DILFs in the match are MXM. We are stealing the valor, stolen valor from MXM. We're not real dads. We're just DILFs. All good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just people doing too much.
Always just doing too much.
Chill. Just fucking chill. Take a breath. Life is not that serious. It's just not that serious.
Chill. Everybody chill. Everybody deep breath. Breathe it in. Chill. Feed your children. When I get to Philadelphia, my first stop is at the H2O Wrestling Center right outside of Philly. And I will be taking the Intergender belt from Marcus Mathers. Marcus Mathers just turned 21. Congratulations to you, Marcus Mathers. It's very exciting. We're really happy that you can now drink a beer on your own. I will drown you in fucking IPAs. I will get you so fucked up in the ring that you can't even stand up straight. I will beat your ass. I will put a chair around your neck, and I will stomp you out. I will do anything to take that belt. You are my stepson. You are someone who I want to raise up to be a strong man in the community. I've seen only wonderful things out of you in the wrestling world. I am proud of you every day. I'm going to beat the fuck out of you, Marcus Mathers. So come out to Cream Mania featuring Effie versus Marcus Mathers in the main event. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen except for I'm beating the shit out of a 21-year-old. Happy birthday to you. Then Thursday, huge news, Gimmicks 24/7, who does a lot of the WWE fashion and gear, is doing a fashion show. And I am walking in the fashion show. I do believe Faye.
The fashion show.
I just forgot Faye's last name.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Billy Dixon will be there. Faye will be there. Effie will be there. Allie might be there. I don't know. But we're going to walk in the fashion show. And then that night, as a special guest, thank you to sponsors Wale and Adidas. I will be at Wale Mania all night. And when I come out on the floor, you're going to be ready because I'm coming, wait for it, fully nude. Effie will be fully nude at Wale Mania. All right? Unless somebody tells me I can't be fully nude. But otherwise, it's weenies out, okay? Thursday night, weenies out. It's going to be great.
It's going to be weenie mania.
Weenie mania! All right? Can't wait to see you, Wale. Can't wait to kiss you on the forehead. And thank you to Adidas. Friday, Progress, Effie and Ali versus Session Moth and Gene Money. And then Friday night, Mance Warner versus Effie. I quit. You know what that is?
No.
The only way to win is to make the other person quit.
Oh.
Which means there's no pinfalls, no submissions, no disqualifications, no rules, no limits. And no safety.
What day is that?
That day is Friday night. That is going to be April 5th. We probably will go on around 10:30, if I had to guess. And it is an I Quit match. Then only a few short hours afterwards, I will be waking up, hopefully. No? What is this look? What is this look?
It's going to be violent as fuck.
Whoa, why are you saying this?
Because that day is particularly
violent.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first, folks. The planets have decided Mance Warner versus Effie I Quit match will be violent as fuck.
Yeah. So there's a so you know in Super Mario Kart the little like whoop the speed thing where it ramps you up. Well, the sun is in Aries and it's going to be hitting that little speed ramp.
Yeah, it's going to be really fucked up.
Yeah. Good grief.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's not good.
Every other Mance that you've had has been on like really violent days this
year. Oh, you think? Oh, yeah. I could have told you that one with my fucking lumpy ass head and my missing hair and the welts on my back and the fact that I can't remember people's names now. Jesus Christ. Oh. I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. Well, luckily, after I defeat Mance in the I Quit match, only a few short hours later, it will be time for Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9, live from Philadelphia at 11 a.m. in the morning. What the fuck? It's free to watch on Fight or Triller TV, included in your subscription. And we will be facing off with Dirty Breeze, a.k.a. the Fashion Police. And then I'm going to go nap for like a few hours because that night I'm going to be in the clusterfuck at midnight. The 90-person clusterfuck, Joey has said, that the only other match on this show is what's called a Punjabi prison match, which is where there's a double cage built of bamboo trapping four tag teams inside where they must escape and complete tasks like Legends of the Hidden Temple. It's going to be a fucking nightmare, and I'm so excited for the fans to get to see it. Why I agreed. I said, Joey, I don't need to be there. And he said, yes, you do. And I went, fuck. And then we'll wake up Sunday morning and we'll be doing a signing from 9 to 12 at WrestleCon before the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. Thank you to everyone who's going to come out. I have very limited edition Bussy and Effie 8x10s. I will have Major Bendies. I will have Philly sports shirts. I will have Say Gay shirts. I will have behind the building where the Porta Johns are. I've been doing a little hand stuff. So, you know, we'll see where the week takes us. It's Philadelphia. There's no rules. It's always sunny there, except for it's supposed to rain all week. So it's really exciting stuff. I'm hopeful that everyone will come out and have a good time. I want everyone to be entertained and have so much joy. But please, if I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, just don't push it. Okay? I love you all. If I'm not at the merch table, someone will be. Please know you can buy stuff without me there and I will come out later. We're going to start using a ticketing system where if you make a purchase, you have a ticket. And anyone who gives me a ticket can take a picture with me. And if you don't have a ticket, go buy something. I should probably go ahead and buy the tickets, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. If you don't have a ticket, you can't ride the ride. And it's a golden ticket. You think the thing about Timothée Chalamet's chin is true? Did you see the TikTok?
No.
Where the guy was like, me and Timothée Chalamet went to Mexico to get our chins done in college. And now I have a wait staff gig at 2 o'clock and he has everything. What do I have, Timothée Chalamet? We both got our chins done at the same time. And what do I have? You think it's true?
What?
Yeah. Some guy was calling him out on Instagram. Either way, Timothée Chalamet, I'm sorry to all those girls you gave syphilis to. But you can give it to me.
I think it was chlamydia.
I'm sorry to all those girls you gave chlamydia to, but you can give it to me because there's a pill for that, and I'm willing to take pills. Is that too dark? I saw Dune 2. I know you can ride that worm. I'm a top, bruh. Come ride the worm. Okay. Do we have any questions this week? I'm sorry. I'm on one today.
Yes, we do. We do. We do.
Bravo.
Okay. This is from Classy.
Hello. They rule, by the way. I was talking to them on Twitter today. Don't believe the haters.
Do we want to talk about movie?
I think we should save it.
Okay.
I think we're going to do a secret episode next
week. Yeah, totally.
Before I leave.
Totally.
So we're going to save it.
Totally. Okay, this is from Clissy. Effie and Peter F. Applies, what was your most painful tattoo? I'd imagine the side of your head hurt.
The side of my head did hurt, but it was so brief. You were there for it, Bitar. I mean, it took 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Both of my feet, the tops of my feet, were the most painful for me personally.
Yeah.
What about you?
Ribs.
Ribs? Mm-hmm. I only have a small one on my ribs, though, so I can't really.
I have both of my ribs done. Okay. Like, full pieces.
Yeah, that's. I imagine that's.
Gets but a that was annoying. Also the first that I did, and so every single tattoo has been a fucking. Like, I am one of those obnoxious people that falls asleep during their tattoos.
Oh my gosh. Little pain pig.
Yeah.
Mm.
The last, when I got that done, it was about 8 hours, and this kid was sitting next to me. He was there the whole time I was, and he was getting his first tattoo, and I was just chilling, and he gets done with his and walks over to me, and he goes, how do you, that's, you just sat there?
It's therapeutic, baby.
I was like, brother, I've gotten a lot. This is not, you can chill, you're fine.
I come in just to relax, actually. I'm running out of skin. Closey, I would like to know how the Effie piece felt on you. They got the wonderful Effie back piece I was talking to you about.
Okay, do y'all want to know the real secret?
Yeah.
If you can turn pain off.
What? How?
So if you do not, if you lean into it to where when pain is happening to you, you examine how it feels. You describe to yourself the kind of pain that you're feeling to where you try and hone in on what exactly that feeling is. And the further you go down into that, you will hit a switch where you go, these are just signals to my brain and I can go boop and you turn it off.
All right, and we're going to practice.
Tattoos were how I taught myself how to do that.
Well, there's enough time while there's the pain enough is happening time to get into that.
You're set there.
Yeah.
But it's something that like Buddhist monks hone in on. But it's really like if you want to fuck around and find out.
I really tried with my feet and it just kept getting worse. I don't know. There's something about the way it rattles your bones.
I'm also a Mars first houser. So like pain is kind of my
pain for pleasure. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm into that. I mean, I love it. Tattoos are great.
Were it most painful? Getting my nose pierced.
Really?
100%.
Both of the times I got my nose pierced, it was in a bathroom at someone's house. And so I think there was just like the excitement of people cheering you on. I used to have two in one side. This is disgusting. But whenever I would fuck, one of them would come out and I would have to stop the fucking from happening and then turn on the lights and then figure out where my extra nose ring was. And so it became really outrageous. And then I got a corporate job and they made me take my nose ring out. And I've not added a nose ring back in because I thought I was too old. Now I think I'm going to add a nose ring back in, but I can't because I tried to add earrings and I kept getting them kicked out of my head. And I imagine I can't let it. A nose takes longer to heal than an ear. And I can't even get through an earring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
So what about your ears? Not bad?
No.
No.
No. I don't know. It's like I did it when I was 18 and then like sized up and it's fine.
Well, the sizing up is gradual, so it's not like that's not the painful part.
What was painful about it was the early 20s. I just need to get up to the next size and then pushing it and having blowouts. That's awful.
I fucked up Allie's ears after she got them fixed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she got the surgery because she had huge, like, inch-wide gauges. Bigger than an inch. Like, they were big.
Yeah.
And then she got them fixed, and then we had a match, and then I ripped it immediately.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Allie.
Oof.
You look pretty to me.
I don't... Interesting. I don't notice.
Yeah, if you look
well
really
done
close,
to the surgeon.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Except for the one that I fucked up.
Okay, this is from Danny. For both of you guys, what is your favorite old school comfort shows from the 80s and 90s?
I used to watch a lot of Andy Griffith's show.
Oh, same.
My grandpa always had it on.
A Matlock.
Matlock!
Huge in my house.
Okay, I love Matlock.
I love some Matlock. I love Columbo more than anything.
Murder, She Wrote is my shit, too.
Murder, She Wrote's great.
The song is so good. Murder, She Wrote.
Columbo is just such a sleazeball.
Yeah, he is. He's a greasy little fuck. They have a Columbo action figure. I think we should probably get that.
I love that.
I think that would be perfect. So it sounds like we like murder mysteries. Yeah, big fan of Andy Griffith, though.
I watched a lot of Perot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's back.
He is back.
Did you watch the newest one, right?
I watched the Tina Fey one.
And it was shot really weird.
Yeah.
But he directed it. Kenneth Branagh?
Oh, God. Hang on.
Slight pause.
Hey. No display. We just have the shelves.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
We're back. Poirot. It was shot really weird.
Yeah, super weird. Super weird. Okay. Whenever I'm cold, I go stand in the corner. It's 90 degrees there.
Because of the angles. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great.
Thank you, Heather. That rules. Okay. This is from Julie. Is Barry Keoghan the Ewan McGregor of his acting generation? Discuss.
Okay, here's why he's not. Ewan McGregor is classically beautiful. Mm-hmm. Barry Keoghan is like weird boy at the club, and you're like, I don't know why, but I'm going to fuck him. Yeah. And you're like, and you show your friends, and your friends are like, that one? And you're like, yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But Ewan McGregor, if you were like, oh, I want to take him home, they'd be like, yeah, you and everyone else. But I do think they both choose pretty weird roles. But where's his Obi-Wan role, you know? Where's the defining Ewan McGregor mm-hmm. Obi-Wan role for Barry Keoghan?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's as my husband. Sorry, AJ. I don't know. Like, you know, and here's the thing. You know, AJ's 6'3", right? Tall guy. But I'm also, like, I'm kind of in the market for a backpack boy where, like, if he was injured on a mountain, I could definitely piggyback him down the mountain to safety. Like, that's something I think is very attractive. If I can cradle you like a baby and carry you around the house, like, I'm kind of into that. I think I could carry Barry Keoghan down a mountain.
Okay.
And he would kiss me on the neck while I did it, even though his leg was broken from his fall when he was showing off on the rocks. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It is difficult because Ewan McGregor, it's classically attractive taking shitbird roles where Keoghan's just a shitbird.
He's just all around shitbird. Yeah. Weirdo shitbird who looks like a weirdo shitbird. Mm-hmm. And I'm into it. Mm-hmm. Banshees of Inisherin, did you ever see it?
No.
Okay, you got to do it. Okay. It's a great sick movie.
Oh, is it?
I think it's a great sick movie.
Why am I suspicious of this?
You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be suspicious. I'm not going to lie to you here, Pitar. It's beautiful Irish countryside. It's broken friendship. It's Barry Keoghan being like really confused about everything. There's a donkey. Like, it's all there.
Okay.
It's all there. The Banshees of Inisherin.
I did get to watch my favorite sick movie of all time last night.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
Upgrade.
Yes. Upgrade is fantastic.
If you haven't seen Upgrade,
it's so like good. On Amazon Prime or something,
right? Yeah, it's like constantly
You can
streaming.
Find
you
Upgrade.
You can find Upgrade.
It's wonderful. It's like, what's the Bradley Cooper movie?
Limitless.
It's like if that didn't fucking get weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it did. Limitless did make me want to get a Vyvanse prescription, but I didn't do it.
I know.
I didn't do it. I do want to say whenever I take a little Vyvanse, feel great, feel good. But I don't think I need my whole life to be that robot person. You've warned me of that as well.
Yeah, it's helpful when you need it, but if you're relying on it all the time, it's a real personality drain.
And it gets, if you're taking it every day, you're not getting the, like you get used to it right away. Yeah. And then when you stop, you're like, duh.
You do, with all of those, and like, forgive me, and like, keep in mind, this is someone that was on Adderall from second grade up until age 27. You do have to ask, do I want to be on stimulants all the time?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing.
You don't want a little bit of that vaudeville speed? We got another show tonight.
Look, there are days where I fucking miss it, but.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Also, rest is good.
Rest is great. Sometimes you just need to take a big nap, you know? Listen, I've got two C4s on the table right now. Clearly, I love stimulants.
Yeah.
But also, like, when it's time to rest, we will rest deeply.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite Andrew WK when it comes to napping. Also, I just want to say, for the longest time, I thought he got in a fight. That's not why his nose was bleeding.
What do you mean?
On the album cover?
Oh, it's just coke?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just did a lot of cocaine.
I believe it.
Yeah, so you learn things. I went to a...
You know he's a classically trained opera singer and pianist?
Yeah, because I went to his speaking engagement tour, where one of the questions was, why do you have these tattoos of lines on your arm? Is it for fisting? And he was like, no, I just like lines. Yeah, I don't know. Might be for fisting.
Isn't he married to someone weird?
Yeah, I think so. Hold up. He was married to someone in his band, but then they broke up.
It's like Kat Dennings or somebody.
And
like
there
that.
Was like a real big... Yeah, he is married to Kat Dennings. They married in 2021. They were engaged in 21 and then married in 23. So that's recent. But he was married to one of the girls in the band for a long time. Mm. And then there was the conspiracy that he was multiple people, that the label was like replacing him.
Yeah.
Which is cute to think, but also like he's not bringing in that much money.
No.
He's not bringing in so much money that you're like, we have to clone Andrew Day. He's not Usher.
I saw him once and it was at the Masquerade. He's not.
Yeah. That's like, it's not a big enough venue to be like, we've got to get a new one now. What happened to this one? Yeah, no, guys, if we're going to clone somebody, it's going to be Rihanna, you know, like it's going to be Taylor Swift. There's six Beyoncés. Yeah. You just use the one that's less tired. Well, this one likes country. Well, let her do her thing. Sorry. I'm excited for Cowboy Carter.
I am too.
Dolly Parton's on there and they're doing the cover of Jolene.
Oh.
Ooh. Have you ever listened to the slowed down Jolene?
No.
Where she just like...
Like, so, really gets into
oh,
it.
Oh, fuck. It's so good. She's the best. We got to go to Dolly World.
I'm fully ready for the Jay-Z Beyonce divorce that's around the corner.
You think it's coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You feel it?
It's astrology.
Oh, my God.
We've known about this shit. Like, what's really funny with all the Diddy and all the other stuff is that, like, all the astrologers knew that this was around the corner. And so none of this is, like, terribly surprising. But it's good. The seeing Jay-Z start to get roped in this stuff, I go, okay, here's where the divorce story is.
Yeah, here's where it gets creeped.
Yeah.
Get Him to the Greek, most cursed film of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 100%.
Everyone's involvement.
Everyone involved. Not good. Not good.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're happy for you, Beyonce. Love ya. You know, sorry about your life and all that, but we're here for you if you need somebody to talk to.
Wipe those tears away with those billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Well, they paid cash for that house, that $300 million house. My God. Can I have $40, Beyonce? Please.